Yes, it is that time of the week, Twitter Thursday, when we take a look at the lighter side of Twitter and some of the things going on in this big, marvellous world around us, and join Sean Defoe. Sean, how are you doing, man?
Nah, not too bad. How are you?
Good. Happy Thursday to you. Good to be talking to you. Well, right off the bat, getting into, you know, people make the old expressions. God, it's good to see the bit of the stretch in the evening and even a bit of a stretch in the mornings and all the rest of it getting that bit brighter. What do you reckon?
Oh, Jesus, great. Like, not waking up in the dark and going to sleep in the dark. You knew it would actually be good for your mood, even though it's been absolutely, utterly Baltic outside. Is just that little bit of a stretch is good.
Absolutely that. There was a Twitter feed during the week and it said, in Ireland, old people say that crows start building their nests on the 1st of March. And a picture of a crow with jakers, a bit of a branch nearly as big as himself, if not bigger, as he flies to the air on it.
Yeah, I'd never heard this. I don't know, you said that to me and were like, oh yeah, this is going to... I had genuinely never heard this before, that on the 1st of March is when crows start building their nest. I thought they would have started building before that. Is March not like when they get into... what's the word, birthing season, or, you know, sort of nesting season, lambing season, all this sort of stuff? I certainly know the magpies around here were digging for every little bit of fluff they could get building those nests. So the magpies, maybe they are the getting up early in the morning. They are the birds of the bird world. Get that early worm, get that early nest. But no, is this well known? I'd never heard of
this. A kind of a country thing now, you know, but again, with the climate change and all this, that kind of thing, the fact that it's that bit milder at certain times of the year and early part of the year, what have you, it kind of kickstarts all that faster. So it's more dependent on climate, really, than calendar, I would have thought.
Yeah, so, and like, it's been very confused this year because we had really warm, like, November and December, and now we're getting it really cold. But another part of that Twitter thread was that apparently if the crows are building high, summer will be dry, and if they build low, it's going to blow, which I guess means it's going to be a bad summer, or wind is blowing high, I don't know. So if you see your crows are very low down or within reach, then, we're fecked for the summer. But sure, look.
That sounds like an Irish rap tune there, Sean, the way you just delivered it. Just give it to us again there.
No, I just can't even remember what I said. This is the way I'd never be a good rapper. I could have been a singer. I can never remember. What was that next line?
The Lord God, where would you be going? But you know, today is also a big day around the world because it's World Book Day.
Ah, what a great day. The days, because you get all these nonsensical days, like, you know, World Day for Crumpets or World Day of the Leaf, or it seems like everything has a day. But World Book Day is one of those ones that was actually great. I used to remember the tokens. Do you remember? I was delighted to hear they still do the book tokens that you get
amount
of days off of a book at a lot of different places. So hopefully a lot of schools got that and will be going down to buy a book. What's your favourite? Like, I always associate it with children's books.
Do you know what? Well, of course they do, because that's where you started with the Enid Blyton's The Famous Five, The Secret Seven, all that sort of stuff. I can remember as a kid, maybe, I don't know, six or seven, looking up the word satchel in a dictionary. I had never heard the word satchel. And, of course, discovering then it was actually just a school bag, but an English term and way of referring to it and what have you. But I can remember just the wonderment of books and the... you know, not being able to put it down and really enjoying the story and getting into it. That's a magic feeling, isn't it? When that clicks with you. And it's a lifetime gift.
100%. One of those ones you can't put down. I had one of those over Christmas, one of that new Stephen King book, Fairy Tale. Oddly, it's actually funny. Myself and my mother, and this is showing that maybe as I get older, our tastes are getting a lot similar. But the last two Christmases in a row, we've bought each other the same book.
That is mad. Unbeknownst to each other.
Wow. 2 years ago, it was Dermot Whelan's book, Mindfulness. And then this year, it was that Stephen King book, Fairy Tale. And we'd both been kind of talking about it. It ended up. And the second we changed, like went to exchange presents, we were like, oh, we've done it again here, you know. One of those ones that I just did. I flew through it in about 4 days, even though it's 600 odd pages, which is really, really good. But it's those ones, Roald Dahl is what I always associate with Book Day, you know, because they were sort of, they're smaller, they're a little bit more accessible. And it's funny you say satchel and go back to words. Blunderbuss was the one that I remember having absolutely no idea
what a blunderbuss could be.
And it came up at a credit union quiz in the Tower Hotel in fourth class. And we lost on that question. And I will never, ever forget then that a blunderbuss is a type of gun.
Planted firmly in the mind. No, it's funny how things stay with you on occasions like that. You know, they call it the power of association, Sean.
It's funny when you learn those things, especially when you're younger. It's like spelling Wednesday. I could never say it without saying Wednesday.
Yeah.
With the D, just to make sure that it's in there. But it'd be interesting to see what people say about favourite books. The stuff that you should read on this book day.
I was calling it out at the start of the show, and we got a few replies on it, one of which was Lisa Cudahy in Viewmount, and she was saying A Man Called Ove, which is a book that I have read and I'm very much enjoyed. Sure, Tom Hanks was in the movie recently, wasn't he?
It's only just out, yeah. I remember seeing the movie. They changed the name slightly. It's not Ove, it's something else. I can't remember what it is. Yeah. But yeah, I haven't read it, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, and you know, Ove, of course, in the book is this huge, big chunk of a guy and all the rest of it, not quite Tom Hanks stature kind of thing, which I was a bit concerned about when I heard he was in the movie. You know, not that he's not a great actor and all the rest of it, but that was a kind of like Jack Reacher books. Remember all the hardship Tom Cruise came in for? Because Jack Reacher, as the books would have written him, would have been like 6'4", ex-Marine, all the rest of it.
Tall, dark, handsome. Oh, there you have it. Yeah. Short, light, handsome.
Something in connection with all of that. I was asking Maria McCann, she was floating around there, what her favorite book was. She said one of her favorite books is, and I'm not making this up, it's called The Silent Meow.
That is the most Maria McCann sounding book I have ever heard in my life.
Oh my God, and apparently, cut a long story short, what it is, it's an older cat's advice to a younger cat.
Oh my, that's kind of cool. I love those books that are just like a little tiny twist that you wouldn't have ever thought of. It's funny as well, there was one, it seems strange when you think about it now. I read a book a couple of years ago called The Senility of Vladimir P. And given everything that's gone on in the last year, but it was a fiction about a Vladimir Putin who had gone senile as president of Russia, and it was about one of the people who worked for him and all the people who were stealing the stuff from around the presidential palace. So one of those weird sort of ones that you think, God, in retrospect, a whole different different aspect. He may well be going senile, but taking the world with him.
Truly, Roisin Broaders was another one. Was in touch from Dungarvan, and she was saying that she had reread Wuthering Heights recently, Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, and what a fabulous book that is. Indeed, what a fabulous book it is, all right.
It's funny, I was only thinking recently that I should reread that, because I read it in school, and when you read it in school and have to write down the passages off the board, it suddenly loses some of its magic. But I do remember, you know, just sort of the darkness of the moors, the fog coming in, Heathcliff, and all the sort of the general tint of madness to it. So I'd love to read, there's a lot of books, I started reading The Lord of the Rings again recently, because there's a lot of books I read as a kid that I want to see, you know, does it hold when you read it again as an adult?
Fair juice to your stamina now. Lord of the Rings was a fair old thump and read.
It was a good old whack now, or it kept me busy for plenty of hours.
Good doorstop.
Sitting there in Ferrybank, you know? Yeah. But yeah, that's definitely one of them. Wuthering Heights, a great book. I must go and see now if I maybe appreciate it a bit more when I'm not writing it down in a copy book.
Bill Bryson, A Short History of Everything, one of my all-time favourite books. And he literally does that. He counts. I'd say, have you ever come across it?
No,
I'd say you'd love it. It's full of all trivia and the origins of many things, being the following the name, A Short History of Everything. But he talks about dinosaur bones when they were found first, and what people didn't know what they were. But there was a lady, and her name was, if I can just look at, find it here, where was it going? Mary Anning, A-N-N-I-N-G. When she was aged 11, 12, or 13, depending on whose account you read, she found a strange fossilized sea monster about 17 feet long, now known as a plesiosaur. And she was one of the first people to literally hunt for bones, and she used to sell them. And apparently, this lady is where the expression commonly held source of the origin of it, the famous tongue twister, she sells seashells by the seashore. That's where that came from.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But it's full of all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all full of all that kind of stuff.
You're after sending me down memory lane, actually, and I can't believe I'd forgotten this. I should have been told the story from the start. But I think the very first time I was ever on radio was probably in the studio you're sitting in now with the late, great Billy McCarthy from World Book Day, when I was in fifth class, doing a review of Harry Potter and the Order of the Secrets. There's a flashback. Here we are, however many years later, 14, 15 years later, still talking about books on Tavella Lore.
That is mad. Sean, we've got to leave it there. We're smack out of time. Always good to hear you. Thank you for making a bit of space in the week. Now, your Explain to Big podcast, your explainer, where are you going this week?
Yeah, this week it is the Windsor Framework, that thing that has replaced the Northern Ireland Protocol. We are doing a dummy's guide to it because it's all very highfalutin stuff.
I'll have to read this, or listen to this, I should say.
It's very complicated. We did one on the Northern Ireland Protocol, just trying to make it as simple as possible, because you hear about it so much in the news. You're going to hear about it for ages as the DUP decided whether or not to back it. So to understand in as simple the terms as I could put it what exactly is in it, check out Let Me Explain Now. It's available wherever you get your podcast.
Fantastic. On that note, Sean, have a great rest of the week, my man. Thanks so much.
You too. Thank you.